Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Wednesday, right? Just making sure. Yeah, Brett Ciancia with us in about 15 minutes. Pick six previews. He's been in the Big Ten with his studies. We'll talk about that. We're not limited there, but we'll begin there. And top of hour two, Blake Ruffino will check in with us from down in the Louisiana boot country. Looking forward to that. That's the guesting today. 615-844-5600. That's your number to dial in on Twitter at Bill is King. Email billisking7@gmail.com. And Facebook, if you are so inclined, that would be Billy King. There's a few of them there. Just, I believe if you search the name and then the city, Franklin, it should pop up. Yeah, not Nashville. Don't make that mistake. Franklin, specifically Franklin, next to my name. So there you have it. What do we have? SEC baseball tournament. Carter Holton, the freshman for Vandy, is pitching as well as anybody in America right now. They just beat Ole Miss. He's almost unhittable. He's a lefty. Again, he's a freshman out of Savannah, Georgia. He's got wicked stuff. Absolutely wicked stuff. Notice who Vanderbilt picked to pitch that first game. They had to have it. Well, I mean, I don't know that they had to have it, but hosting is a big deal, right? And that first game was very important. Now, they get Tony Vols. Yeah, they get Tony Vols. And Vandy's starting pitching drops off a lot. And he's not their first night pitcher. Typically, now he is now, I would think. And he's their best pitcher by far. But they're not overly impressive once you get past him with starting pitching, Vanderbilt. Which is not their history. Usually they are. We'll see what happens. That game is later tonight. I was just looking. Yesterday, the weather was bad here and down in Birmingham. Birmingham is 3 hours due south of the 615. Depending on what part of the 615. I'm on the southern side. I actually, if I got in a car, I could get to Birmingham faster than I could get to Knoxville or Memphis. Yeah, easily faster. Now, if you're on the other side, let's say you live in the Mount Juliet area, which is off of 40 East, you could get to Knoxville a lot faster than you could get to Birmingham because you'd have to come through town and all that. But I'm on the south side, y'all. Here's what they've got today. Alabama beat Georgia, so they get Arkansas. But the first game is Auburn, Kentucky this morning, if weather permits. I haven't even checked. You folks down in Birmingham, I think the weather is supposed to be a little dicey today, too. Auburn, Kentucky at 9:30. These are central times. Then Arkansas, Alabama. Then the evening session, or the afternoon session, is A&M versus Florida. Florida beat South Carolina. And Tony Vols versus Vanderbilt. That game will be later tonight. Tony Vols versus the Vandy boys. Eli Holstein. We'll talk to Blake about this. Quarterback Zachary Alabama. Sorry, I had Alabama on the brain there. Zachary Louisiana. I don't know that there's a Zachary Alabama. If there is, I've never been there. Zachary Louisiana. Sorry, you folks in Louisiana, for that faux pas there, whatever that was. Was originally committed to Jimbo. Now, this is not recent. He decommitted. And the thinking has been that Eli Holstein would probably marry up with Alabama. This has happened. He announced his commitment. It was after the show on Tuesday. Not surprising. Now, what's interesting is 614 Rob, sorry about this. Arch Manning. Rob sent a message yesterday and said, Bill, I'm kind of getting over Arch Manning. I'm getting over it, Bill. I know. But recruiting prima donnas, and I shouldn't say, I don't know that that's Arch Manning, but recruiting stars have always caught the attention of this show. This isn't new. Now, maybe a brand name like Manning, that's not every day, but a player or a few players catching the attention of this show, among all the other players, is about a 35-year-old tradition on the show. That's not going away. Yeah, that's not going bye-bye. Now, I know there's only a couple of schools involved or have a chance with Arch, so I get that point. If you're not in it, it's not all that interesting to you. Ohio State's not worried about quarterbacks. They got them stacked up quite nicely, right? No worries there. Doesn't matter if Arch Manning goes to what school if you're an Ohio State fan. You're not worried about quarterbacks. I get that. No, I get that. I understand it fully. But Arch Manning at least still has, unless something's changed, three visits set up, starting not this weekend but the next. Georgia, Alabama, and then Texas. LSU, Florida, supposed to get visits too, unless, again, now this is fluid, and we'll talk to Blake about it later. Top of hour two. But Eli Holstein out of Zachary, not Alabama, Louisiana, has committed to Nicky and the boys. And I don't think they're real worried about the quarterback room there either. Now, there's no way Arch Manning is going to the same place that Eli Holstein is going. And there's no way Eli Holstein committed to Alabama if he thought Arch Manning was going there. Now, I know both. Hey, Bill, these kids, they're not afraid of competition. I know. But, yeah, they make calculations based on this stuff. Competition or not. That's the way it works. That news hit. And I'm sure Jimbo and Nicky need to hold a press conference today after that commitment. Because, remember, he was committed a while back to A&M. And both say, hey, we don't pay anybody, even though it's okay to pay them now. Just go ahead and hold a press conference and do what society has taught people to say, which I've never understood. Do what society says and have a press conference and just say it's not about the money. Eli Holstein was willing to come here if he had to live in a tent under the bridge. Same with A&M. Yeah. Since that class of 22 didn't get anything at A&M, Eli Holstein was originally committed to Jimbo based on living in a cardboard box by the sewage disposal area. Yeah. That's how bad I want to be here. I'd be willing to do that. So we'll talk to Blake about it. little bit earlier. Yeah, I had the baseball on. The thing about the baseball yesterday, though, was it was so delayed, and every time I would turn on the SEC Network, it'd be a replay of one of their past baseball documentaries that I've seen probably 7,000 times, and I really don't want to ever see it again. So I would turn it back on that one TV back to the Financial Channel, which was more interesting than the rain-delayed programming on the SEC Network. That I kind of lost track of things, and they got pushed back many, many hours. I mean, many hours. Heck, the first game didn't even resume. Supposed to start at 9:30, which it didn't, on Tuesday. The first game, which was the Georgia-Alabama game, didn't even resume until, what, 1 or 1:20 or something? That's the first game of four. That's, again, supposed to start at 9:30. Then you got to wait 30 minutes after the conclusion. Georgia-Florida started playing, and I got sick and tired of waiting. I'm not going to sit around. Look, this isn't college football. I love college baseball, but it's not college football, y'all. I ain't waiting all day for you. Something interesting's going to happen that's going to take my attention away and not allow me to affix to it. I do enjoy it. No, I just, but it's not unconditional. Obviously, I think collectively, let's use that term for this audience. As of now, our love for college football is unconditional. Has to be. With all the crap that's happened here, last year or more, it's got to be unconditional. Otherwise, we'd all be out. We'd all be saying, college football, we're breaking up with you. We're tired of you. Georgia Dog says, Billy, a tornado warning 20 miles west of my home down on the Emerald Coast. Driving to Dothan, Alabama for a doctor visit this morning. So yes, some yucky weather. Let me pull up the radar real quick since I have it. Right here in front of me. And I'm scrolling south. I'm going south to see what's happening. Anyways, I don't see a lot right now on it. Yeah, I was at a basketball summer league thing with my daughter a couple of years ago, and it was bad weather, and one of the moms came up and said, do you have the radar? And I said, yeah, I've got my radar, which is the name of a radar, but it's not mine. She giggled. She thought I had my own radar. Like, look at my radar. No, it's just called my radar. All right, we'll get the first break. Brett Ciancia when we come back. Omni.
Good morning. Traffic volume increasing. We would expect this time of the morning coming down through parts of Wilson County through Mount Julia. Traffic still looks good. 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. Radar out here already up and down I-40 through Kingston Springs. You're going to see more and more radar over the next few days as we get closer to the holiday weekend. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar. It's home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out today at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
At J&J Printers, they like to answer the question, can you? It's their mission to help you achieve the best possible printing regardless of quantity, complexity, or budget. At J&J, they believe if it's important enough to print, it's important enough to print right. So, yes, J&J can help your business with the design of your brochure or printing those business cards. They can even help you process that mailing. See why Nashville has relied on J&J Printers for over 35 years. Check them out online at jandjprinters.com. Hey, Brady.
Braves fans. It's time for baseball, and that means it's time to cheer on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, in the 2022 season. Attorney Klein Preston of the Klein Preston Law Group wants you to join him in cheering on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, for the start of the 2022 season. Here's to another amazing season for Braves Country here on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio. If you want to spend quality time outdoors with your family, coworkers, employees, or friends, nothing beats a guided fishing trip. Since 2004, Brian Carper's Guide Service has offered trips on Percy Priest, Old Hickory, and Center Hill Lakes and is the top-rated guide service in Middle Tennessee. Brian Carper's Guide Service offers bass boat and pontoon trips for all sizes with 4, 6, and 8-hour trips available for bass, crappie, and hybrids. All equipment plus water and snacks are provided, and they'll even clean your catch for free. Check out Brian Carper's Facebook page or call 615-801-2400. That's 615-801-2408. And online at briancarper.com. Nashville Sports Radio is hitting the road. Join the Bill King Show the first Friday of every month as he broadcasts live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Check out the WNSR calendar for the dates and be there as Nashville Sports Radio hits the road the first Friday of every month. Come be part of the Bill King Show live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show, live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. On the air and everywhere with Nashville Sports Radio. The best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, has concentrated his studies recently in the Big Ten Conference. Brett, what are you learning? What did you uncover this last week?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I'm enjoying going through the Big Ten. You know, a lot of different success stories in 2021 and seeing how that's going to translate over to 2022. I pretty much wrapped up the conference. You know, you look at the Big Ten West, a lot of teams surprised last year. They got the 9 wins different ways. Minnesota, they did it all on the ground. You know, the fewest passing attempts besides the service academies. And then Purdue, they got the 9 wins the opposite way, throwing the ball more than anybody except for Mike Leach. So all through the air. And then, yeah, you have Wisconsin. They started 1-3, their worst start since 1990. They bounced back and rounded into form and were one of the best teams in the division. So, yeah, a lot to like from the Big Ten West. Big Ten East was, you know, Michigan surprise. You know, all those, that long streak against Ohio State, the 17-year drought winning the Big Ten, all of those were, you know, broken down last year as they finally surged through. And really, when you look at Michigan, it was like the old Stanford offenses for Jim Harbaugh. I think back in 18 and 19 and 20, they tried to get creative and spread the ball out and go, you know, really modern. But when you look at Michigan last year, it was really just the nation's best offensive line, a great duo of running backs and a game manager quarterback, and they out-physicaled Ohio State to the Big Ten title.
Is Michigan equipped to maintain that level from a year ago?
So I don't know about the one-year bounce back. I mean, they might take a little bit of a step back in 2022. They lose 8 starters on defense. That's going to be tough to replace, and switching both coordinators. But I do think longer term that this program has some staying power. Jim Harbaugh, what he really pulled off last year, aside from the obvious the wins and the Big Ten title and the playoff appearance, he really fixed the culture at Michigan. And now this is a player-led team. We'll see if that can continue into 2022 and beyond. But I really like what they've built, especially on that offensive line. Their skill players at receiver and running back, they're very deep there. J.J. McCarthy looks like the program's future quarterback. They also have a couple five-star quarterbacks in the pipeline in the recruiting game. So I think they're going to have some staying power here. And I think, obviously, Ohio State is number one out there in recruiting and on the field. But Michigan really is going to continue to be a player.
You're in Pennsylvania. What do you expect out of Penn State?
Yeah, looking at Penn State, it's got to be frustrating for the Penn State fans out there. I mean, they opened up 5-0. They were ranked in the top three, and they were up 17-3 against Iowa, if you remember that game. And then Jack Campbell came through the line like a missile and knocked out Sean Clifford. And really, the season went downhill from there. They, like I said, started 5-0, finished 2-6 in the final eight games, finishing there with a 7-6 record. But off the field, he's dominated the state, as he says, James Franklin, a top 10 recruiting class, pulled in four of the top six PA prospects, a lot of five stars this year. So the recruiting's right there. Those losses were close when you look at them. I think five of them were one score or less, and all five of those regular season games, they held leads late. So they were very close last year. So looking into 2022, they get Sean Clifford back. It seems like it's been 6 or 7 years, but he's back as a starter. While the other younger guys, the younger five stars, can develop and learn for one more year. Manny Diaz, a splash hire on defense, as Brent Pry, longtime defensive coordinator, takes over Virginia Tech, they bring in Manny Diaz. So it's going to be a similar aggressive attacking defense. So, it's a really crowded Big Ten East, but they're a solid team themselves.
Jim in Ramsey, New Jersey, ask Brett about Rutgers. What do you see there?
Yeah, well, Rutgers, Greg Schiano impressed me his first time in. His first season after he returned. They really fought hard on the field. I know the record didn't really display that. Again, last year, 5-7, they missed out on their bowl game. Thought they had a shot late in the year, but it was really a toss-up game there at the end against Maryland, and they let Tagovailoa really put up a lot of yards on them. So I think they take a slight step back in 2022 in the win-loss column. That schedule's brutal this year. And the offense seems to still be stuck in the mud a little bit. But I think longer term, Schiano will keep them competitive. I think that he's going to raise the recruiting profile from what it was when he wasn't there. You look at his final classes back in his first stint, and then the time in between, it collapsed. And then now his recruiting is back to that level from his first stint. He's locking in a lot of North Jersey guys and New Jersey guys. So I think it's in the right hands, and give it some time. It's just such a crowded division. How do you really make moves in that side of the conference?
By the way, back to Penn State, Will Levis at Kentucky, a transfer, is at least in some of these mock drafts, and we know that's a ways off, but in some of them, he's being mentioned as a first-round pick.
Yeah, that must sting Penn State fans to see that. He didn't have too much experience here at Penn State. The one game I really remember was against Ohio State 1 year. He was inserted into the lineup after an injury and really played some hero ball. I mean, he took maybe 15 carries and shouldered a lot of the carries there and the workload, and I think scored a couple of touchdown drives. So, but that's a very limited sample size, and at the time I think he was more a runner. He's definitely completed his game. He's more of a dual threat and gives Kentucky a chance to move up the ladder in the SEC East. But I was still shocked to see that mock draft come out. He's a great player, but still want to see him prove it this year.
Brett Cianci, which league is next? You still have the Big 12, don't you? And you still have the SEC, I think.
Yeah, I try and save the SEC for last. It's the conference that has the most coverage and usually the most playoff and top 25 contenders. So I want to make sure I'm giving them proper time late in the summer. Big 12 is next. This year it looks like they moved all their spring games over to ESPN Plus, so I'm going to have to look into what that's all about this year. So Big 12 coming up next. I still have a couple teams in the Big 10 to wrap up. Ohio State, they're probably the prohibitive Big 10 favorites and a playoff contender themselves. I want to dig in there. And then I saved Nebraska in the Big 10 just because I saw all this transfer portal activity back when I started the league a few weeks ago, and I figured, hey, let's save Nebraska, let them do all their transfers, and we'll get a more refreshed look later in the summer. So, they've really hit the portal hard, bringing in Casey Thompson, Texas's starting quarterback from last year, O'Shawn Mathis, a two-time all-conference player from TCU. The list goes on, a couple five-star receivers coming in. Two Alabama five stars or four stars coming in on defense. It's a long list, and we'll see if that can kind of jolt that roster over the top.
There was an article yesterday, I don't know if you got to absorb it, on SI about the SEC's future scheduling. And I'll give you the cliff notes. Said a consulting firm pitched about 35 different future schedule models, and they're down to two. It's an 8-game versus a 9-game. Now, right now, they're an 8-game schedule. They don't need 9 games like some of the other leagues choose to play because they can win national championships without doing it. Right now, the SEC's got a 6-1-1 model, but apparently the future is going to be either a 1-7, which again is 8 games, 1 permanent, 7 rotating, or a 3-6 model, 9 games, 3 permanent, 6 rotating. What's your thoughts on that? Does it really matter what they do?
Yeah, I think it does matter. Well, there's really two facets to it. Number one is the number of games total, 8 or 9. The second part is the number of protected games, 1 versus 3. And I'd rather have the more protected games, especially in a rivalry-heavy conference like the SEC. You can obviously all pick out one of your rivals pretty easily, but I'm sure you have 3, 4, maybe even 5 teams that you wish you were playing every year. I mean, if you just look at Auburn, for example, yeah, their big rival is the Iron Bowl. You could argue that Georgia's right there with them as their, you know, the South's oldest rival, they call it, and obviously LSU a rival for them too. And so, yeah, you can easily get to 3 rivals for every team. I think you want to protect as many as you can that way. But also, so your second option was 3 protected, 9 total. I don't think they need 9 games, especially in a 4-game playoff. That just lowers your odds that you end up getting a second team in there. Imagine if they had to do a whole other round robin of games last year. It's a lot of what if, but you basically, with another round of playing each other, you're going to tag 9 more losses onto the conference, and where those fall, we'll see. But I think if it remains a 4-team playoff, you won 8 games, but I'd still send in a lot of protected games too.
And as of right now, because they're not officially in the league, Texas and Oklahoma don't have a vote. They will in about 4 years, but as of right now, so it'd still be only a 14-team vote for the future schedule-wise. And I don't know, they've got their SEC meetings in Destin coming up here in this next week, over Memorial Weekend into the next week, and I'm sure they'll talk about it. I don't know what their goal is, Brett, as far as when to have a conclusion. I guess you really aren't many. Well, you do kind of want to be able to look into the future a few years off, right, with your scheduling, but I don't know what their timetable is.
Yeah, it's tough because they're going through a conference change. They're going to become the first 16-team Power 5 league, and you know that brings with it a lot of new barriers. But the one thing I do, you know, I love a lot about the SEC, but one thing that stands out too is that they don't really care what other conferences are doing. They don't want to copycat the other leagues. Like I saw when the Pac-12 went divisionless, within an hour, the Mountain West hopped right in and was like, oh, yeah, we're going divisionless too. And you see a lot of copycat. The SEC, they're the leaders kind of so. They're not going to just follow what the other leagues do. They're creative in that sense, just like how they were the first to have a conference title game back in the 90s. The first ones to move that next wave of expansion to 14 teams. So they're really the thought leaders there. So they, you know, it's an open canvas. They can do whatever they want with that schedule.
Pac-12 will remain division play this next year, but they're going to go to highest percentage as far as their championship game is concerned, and then after that maybe ditch the divisions. Don't know, they haven't told us that yet, but it sounds like that's what they will do. Does that change the outlook out there any as far as that championship game?
Yeah, so even though the schedules remain kind of division based, I don't know how the standings will work, if it's going to be a 1 through 12, or if you're still going to go north 1 through 6, south 1 through 6. We know that they're going to take number 1 overall versus number 2 overall for the Pac-12 title game. Does that change things? Yeah, when you look back the last 11 years, that would have flipped 5 of the matchups. 5 of the title game matchups would have been different under this format. And most notably, you would have seen a lot of Stanford-Oregon rematches. If you think back to the early 2010s, when those were epic October battles between Chip Kelly's speed and Jim Harbaugh and David Shaw's strength of Stanford, they were great games and they were meaningful. Now you're going to just have that happen and then a rematch in the title game. So, but I had one Pac-12 head coach I talked to, and he was saying how He was glad they scrapped the North versus South. He was saying, why would a title game be determined on geography? Just have it be the two best teams regardless, and you know it's hard to argue with that. So when you see it that way, it makes sense. But in terms of 2022, how does it impact? I mean, I had it kind of as a USC versus Utah debate in the South, and I had Oregon as the clear-cut winner in the North. So instead of having that set up, now you have those three teams vying for two spots, and I'll have to work through that in the next couple weeks.
Southern Cal's getting a lot of love with transfers and the new coach and the new energy, and sometimes that's hard to live up to, you know?
Absolutely, and about a month ago when people were starting to pick them to win the Pac-12, I even tweeted out, I thought that was way too soon, and that they still had major flaws on both lines, the offensive line and defensive line, and I know that some of those transfers are flashy, but they're all the skill positions. With that said, I mean, as the weeks have gone on, it's undeniable the kind of talent they're bringing in instantly at the skill positions. So I think that it definitely throws their hat into the discussion where it wasn't a month or two ago. I mean, we'll see how I end up sorting this thing out, but I still like Utah and Oregon a little bit better given their track records and what they've built and sustained in the offensive line and defensive lines.
Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews. Brett, tell everybody how they can get your content.
Yeah, thanks. It's picksixpreviews.com, at picksixpreviews on Twitter. It's a season preview book coming out. It's a one-man show. I'm covering all 66 Power 5 teams coming out late June. So we're getting there. Two more leagues to go, and excited to talk some Big 12 next week with you.
Yes, sir. See you next week, sir.
See ya.
There you go. Brett Ciancia. He's right about something, and he's got good opinions on everything. The SEC is the most publicized league. Sometimes that publicity isn't good, granted, but the most publicized league. You as a fan, let's say you're a fan in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or wherever, ACC. You absorb SEC information whether you want to or not, through osmosis, through the pores of your skin, just by virtue of the publicity, by virtue of the TV games during the playing portion of the season, by virtue of the recruiting notoriety. You absorb SEC information just naturally. Nobody in the South absorbs Pac-12 information through osmosis, okay? Nobody. You may stay up and watch those games, and I watch plenty of Pac-12 ball. Been watching that league since it was the Pac-8 in the 70s, before Arizona State joined. But you don't absorb the Pac-12 through osmosis. It doesn't come to you whether you want it or not. It's out of sight, out of mind. It's totally different. That's a good point. Think about how many people that enjoy other leagues that listen to this show absorb all this information from the South. There's more knowledge about the SEC, whether you want it or not, in your brain than any other league. It's not even close. Blake Ruffino, top of the hour. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase through Wilson County right now as we check it out live. I-40 coming through Mount Juliet. Traffic's off to a pretty good start so far. 24 coming in from Montgomery County, Clarksville, headed through that section of Cheatham County on 24 eastbound all the way up to the Jolton area. Tons of radar already out here this morning. You're going to see more and more of that over the next few days as we get closer to the holiday weekend. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Switching and saving with Geico is easy, so you're free to ponder life's big questions. Like if a person can get discombobulated, does that mean the rest of the time they're just like combobulated? Are we humans always in a state of combobulation? Until, of course, something dramatic happens. and we are discombobulated for a while. Then we go back to being combobulated. Yeah, that's probably how that works. Switch and save with Geico. It's easier than you think.
When I adopted her, she was a mess. Scabs, itching, licking, missing fur, hot spots, a thin, dull coat. So I take the dog to the vet for the standard run-of-the-mill tests and treatments. No results. I hear your advertisement on the radio.
DinoVite.com.
So I get the 5-pound box of Dinovite and the Lico chops within a 4-week total. Instead of a German Shedder, I have a German Shepherd. Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life because she gets fed Dinovite. And the results, they're just incredibly outstanding. And she loves it. When you rescue a dog, you have to do the right thing. You've got to feed them right for life. Do the Dinovite. Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
859-428-1000. DinoVite.com.
Celebrate spring at Slim Chickens with a grilled chicken strawberry salad. Fresh greens piled with feta cheese, crisp cucumbers, candied pecans, and 100% all-natural grilled tenders. Topped with red, ripe strawberries. The grilled chicken strawberry salad. But hurry, it's only back for a limited time. Need a sweet spring treat? Upgrade your drink with any adult meal to a hand-spun strawberry milkshake. Slim Chickens. Dine in, drive through, online, or delivery.
The Atlanta Braves are back on the field, and this reloaded roster is fired up to defend their crown and run it back in 2022.
Pitch on the way to Ozzie. Get it out towards right field. This is back there towards the wall. Sailing back, and this one is out of the ballpark.
Tonight, the division battles roll on in Atlanta as Matt Olson and the Braves take on Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies live from Truist Park.
Coverage begins this afternoon at 6:05 on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio. Hashtag Fat Side Up. Tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Will down in Athens, Alabama. Bill, it looks like Bama isn't getting Arch Manning after all. I wouldn't think so. Not after the Eli Holstein news committing to Alabama on Tuesday. Wouldn't think so. Chris in, I'm not sure where, says, Bill, is Chris Landry on the show anymore? No. He is not with us on Thursdays or any other day of the week. Chris has a busy schedule and contacted me, a few weeks ago. I don't remember the exact day, but a few weeks ago. And this was after taking some time off for the draft from the show, from this show. And he said, look, I've got a busy schedule for consulting and all my work that I'm going to need to step away. So there's where we are. That's where we're at with that. Paragon SC up in New York. Bill, agree, information is the most important commodity in the world. Yeah, it's not equal, as we know. We're talking about leagues. One of the things that I wanted to do when we started with the Sirius show, and then SiriusXM, is I wanted to connect up everybody best I could. And we did that. Because college football is not a national, it might be a national passion, but it's regional in its love. It has been. I think it's more national now than ever, but it wasn't then. Eli, down in Perry, Georgia. Bill, Today is my last day of ninth grade. What would be a good celebration? What do you do when you finish ninth grade? What would be the appropriate celebration? Pop in a tape of Georgia's national championship game. How about that? Yeah, pop in the tape. And then, if you can find it, pop in the tape of the 1980 Notre Dame, Georgia Sugar Bowl for the Natty. Now, if you have one of those commemorative 1980 Georgia National Championship Coke bottles like I do, Ken from Georgia brought me one. Very nice of him. Don't open that and drink it as part of your celebration. It's probably poisonous by now. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. You're not old. Ninth grade, you're not old enough to really celebrate, right? So I got to be careful here. Yeah, maybe get your dad to take you to your favorite place to eat. How about that? That's what I would do. Tom in Myrtle Beach. Bill, I'm a Big Ten fan. He's from Ohio. But I absorb the SEC because I watch it. It's great football. But the SEC also, or the SEC fans also absorb historically top five programs, whether they like it or not. They really don't. Yeah, it's not true. Example, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Texas, Southern Cal. Not really. Now, they do more than ever today, these days, but historically they don't. Yeah, they don't. Now maybe the upper echelon of fans that are so passionate that they study depth charts and they study recruiting classes and they check practice reports and things. You know, that group, that's a small group, though. Most people are more casual, and they love it, but they have a lot of things going on in life. They don't have the time to allocate to it, but SEC fans aren't studying Oklahoma. SEC fans don't know, in general, what Ohio State's. They know Ohio State's really good. They know they've got a really good quarterback, really good wide receivers, things like that. But they don't know who's in that recruiting class. Most of them don't. They keep their eyeballs on their team and probably their league more so. Buckeye, now Buckeye, let's go Buckeye fans. Buckeye fans, I know the ones on this show certainly absorb SEC information. Not saying that they pull for them or anything. They obviously like their team, but they see these teams. They see the personnel. They see the speed. Not that there's only speed in the SEC. I'm not saying that. There's speed up north, too. Buckeyes can run. But now you may say, well, Bill, can Iowa and Wisconsin run? Well, it depends on. Well, they can run if it's running back, but you're just saying athletes out in space running. Is that what you're trying to say to me? Yeah, they got guys that can run. But is the South known for speed, among other things? Yes. No, there's fast people everywhere. I get that. You don't have to just be down in Belle Glade to be fast. No. Not the case at all. Blake Ruffino, y'all. By the way, because of time, I've been looking at crypto. I didn't buy any, but every day I check it. I was watching that Luna stuff. I tell you what, there was a day, a couple of Sundays ago, I almost bought. I couldn't take it any longer. Yeah, I almost bought in. Where is Luna at right now? Is it still 0001 something? That's what it was yesterday. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic volume increasing down Ellington Parkway right now from the top down to the bottom. Coming over from Wilson County, that still looks pretty good right now on I-40 as you come through Mount Juliet. Traffic's on the increase. I-40 through Kingston Springs. Behind it, you got all that traffic being pushed in from Dixon County coming in from Hickman County. Lots of radar in both of those counties this morning. 3200 block at Colby Drive. That's a crash involving some injuries. Prince's Hot Chicken now hiring at both locations. Check them out today if you hadn't seen that menu in a while. PrincesHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSIN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit VSIN.com/freemonth to sign up now.
Charlie Morton starting game 3-4 of the Braves tonight against the Phillies, countering with Rangers Suarez. Atlanta -135 at home. Philadelphia +125. 8.5 the total. Braves won Tuesday in a walk-off 6-5. Usyk versus Joshua 2 set for July 23rd. Usyk was an underdog for the first fight. He's now a -230 favorite for the heavyweight bout. Joshua looking to reclaim the Super WBA, IBF, WIO, and IBO belts he lost to Usyk last year at +270. The Eastern Conference Finals all tied up. The Heat hosting Game 5 tonight as a 1.5-point underdog against the Celtics. 203.5 the set total. For VSiN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
Can I really reduce my business's phone bill 50% and improve communications? Yes! You've heard about all the national cloud-based phone companies out there urging you to switch to their phone system. Cloud-based IP phones have better quality sound and tools to help you offer better customer service to your clients. But none of these companies will come out to your office, personally meet with you to discuss your company's needs, help you set up your phone system, all at a better price. Strongtel will. Strongtel covers Middle Tennessee and can help your company increase productivity and reduce costs. Never miss a customer call again, no matter where you are, because even your mobile phones are connected to your Strongtel.com office system through their mobile app. Let Strongtel cut your phone bill by 50% and provide a better quality phone with great customer service. Call us now. Make an appointment at 888-232-1335 or go online to Strongtel.com. Again, it's 888-232-1335 or Strongtel.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, mostly sunny, a slight chance of showers, high near 84. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 68. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone.
Sports Radio WNSR.
America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
On Tuesday, commits to Alabama. I would think that takes Alabama's name out of the Arch Manning seriousness, but who knows? Those guys aren't going to the same school. Zachary, Louisiana. Eli Holstein, good prospect. Does he still, Arch, take his Alabama visit, which is scheduled for 2 weekends from this weekend? Or has that been erased? Is there any news there? Is there anything? All right, I know. Bill, Arch Manning, I'm sick of it, Bill. I'm going to tell you again. Obsessing over a recruit is like a fine wine on the show. It ages, and it ages well. It may irritate you, but it ages well. We have obsessed over recruits for 3.5 decades on this show. That's not new. You may be sick of it because of the Arch Manning recognition brand, but that's where we're at, y'all. Obsessing over Johnny Five Star, whether he produces to the level he's anticipated or not, is not new. We readily admit that we do this. Obsessing over a kid, over a decision on a school. That's what it's come to. But that's not new. That's not new at all. Tomorrow, I hadn't even thought about tomorrow yet. Thursdays, remember, we are guest-free on Thursdays. We do not have guests scheduled anymore on Thursdays. And I don't necessarily schedule. Now, last week, it hit perfectly. Rusty Manziel joined us. Brian Driscoll joined us. And then Evie came on Friday, Ole Miss Evie. They're all absolutely terrific. But I don't really have, for tomorrow, not sure. We may go guest-free tomorrow. That's a thing on the show. That is a thing that we relish here on the show. We do not occupy space just to put somebody in there. We don't do that. Oh, Monday we're off. Yeah, if you were listening the other day. We are off on Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a holy day for me. Might not be for all of you, but it is for me. I love that day. I adopted it as a probably a teenager. It just was always such an exciting time. It means the school year's over. Means you've got your summer ahead of you, which is always fun, right? Always exciting. Hang out by the pool. Go play a little golf, whatever you do. Just a fun time, man. So, yeah, we, in honor of this, we will be off on Monday. Josh up in London, Ohio. Bill, what about Biddle? We had Biddle on a couple of weeks ago. There's nothing. What are we going to talk to him about? Hey, Dave, what's that receiving core look like? Got any players in there? Hey, Dave, that receiver coach you've got, can he recruit anybody? Yeah, what's the update there? Can C.J. Stroud, can he throw for some yards? You think he can put some yards on the stat sheet this year coming up? What about that rookie running back from a year ago? Is he still good, or you think maybe he gained some weight and he's slow now? Hey, Dave, that new guy, can he fix that defense, that pillow-fighting defense? What are we going to do about that, Dave? I would do it for Josh. For Josh, I would do it. But no, I'm not calling Dave for tomorrow. Josh, normally I would do this for you. But no. Hey, Dave, you think maybe you get that streak going again against Michigan? That's kind of embarrassing last year. No, Kev, what about Kendall Rogers? Kendall is one of the premier college baseball reporters, info dudes, on the planet. He was at Rivals with me. Now, he never lived here. He always lived in Texas, best I recall. And we were out there in 07 for the College World Series. He was with us. And they started letting people go, and they got rid of baseball on Rivals a long time ago. They started letting people go in 08 during the housing, banking, financial crisis. And so he got cut loose because of that. But he landed. He's at a better spot for baseball. And he's really, really good. I don't know what he can do during tournaments, though. That would be my issue there with him. But he's excellent. I agree with you. He is very, very good. Sam Dog. Bill, would Eli Holstein be a better fit for an NIL deal at that Cal College in East Alabama? What would be the... What would be the reasoning there? You say like some veterinary clinic could sponsor him, or what do you... I don't think Eli Holstein was looking at Auburn. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't think that was on the list. Jimbo was once on the list. And what's Eli Holstein think about the Jimbo and Nicky split since he has chosen another team now, Alabama? Blake Ruffino coming up, Omni Nashville Hotel.